My name's Sean Collier. I'm upstairs at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront Champagne Room with Aaron Kleiber.
Broken glass everywhere. And if anybody money pump, I just don't care.
And returning to the show is Missy Marino after like 4 months.
Yay! Hi, everyone.
That was when we were like, she's going to be on all the time now. And then she disappeared being successful.
Disappeared onto the stage.
But we're not just here to talk about Missy. We will. We're also here to talk about the Richard Linklater film.
Everybody wants her.
Aaron loves doing that way more than he loves the movie, which you'll hear all about this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, April 22nd.
Woo!
So, happy birthday to my hilarious and wonderful girlfriend, Tamara.
Aww, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
She's,
happy birthday to Tamara.
She's not
happy
listening.
Birthday to you.
She's not listening.
She's because it's her birthday and we're drinking all day.
My wife listens to every podcast, so I'm staying on
Does
top
she?
Of all this.
Does
yeah.
she?
Well, yes.
Okay, well then I'll
tell her.
All right.
Tell yeah. her.
And hey, here's a shout out to Twitter user at American Crank, who literally just
Which, by the way, I interrupted Sean. I go, excuse me, guys. I got to take this. American Crank just followed me on Twitter.
As we started recording, he sent us the nicest tweet. So, hey, thanks for listening.
It's one of the best Twitter handles I've ever heard.
That's pretty
in the last
amazing.
Month. American Crank.
And that just goes to prove if you're interactive with us on the social media.
Well, yeah, we'll talk to you.
We'll talk to you. We
yeah,
got nothing
we need
better
to, talk
to
you.
Do.
We need to talk to you. I need this.
We need this. We need you on that wall.
Welcome back to the show.
We were
saying Missy can come to any episode, and
then she's got to be in Sister Act the musical for like a month.
I was
and
like,
a half.
Oh, I gotta go sing in an act, guys. I know. No, I've missed you. My Tuesday nights have been empty, checking out stuff with you, and my Fridays have been filled with your voices. But I'm glad to join in harmoniously with you on this bro movie. So I think that's appropriate.
This was super bro.
It was
super
very bro-y.
Bro-y of another time.
It was like bra.
It was like, brah, totally gnarly, because it was set in the 80s.
As a movie, this is a very good soundtrack, is what it is.
Yes. And by the way, you keep hearing, oh, it's about the 80s, it's 1980s. No, it wasn't.
That's true.
1980 does not count as the 80s.
No.
The 80s really didn't pop off till about 84.
Right,
well,
like
there's
any
disco
decade.
In this movie.
Yeah.
There's no Duran Duran songs
exactly.
in this.
I mean, where is...
It's not quintessential 80s by any stretch. No.
Yeah, where's the Breakfast Club references?
No, there's no references. There's
yeah,
like
it was just...
Very blank.
It was definitely...
generic.
It was definitely the sequel to Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, because that makes
yeah.
sense because it would be 4 years later.
Right. And he even pointed... Linklater has said, it's a sequel to Dazed and Confused, but it also continues Boyhood... Because Boyhood ends when he gets to college, but there are not two movies with a more different tone than Boyhood and Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah,
it's completely. And look, but
nice try.
We're gonna go all around on this because I'm gonna go first because I'm already talking.
Go ahead. I
liked it. That being said, this movie is about absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no point, there's no conflict, there's no message, there's no theme. This is just some stuff happening for 2 hours. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed sitting in there watching it. But if Richard Linklater walked into the champagne room right now and said, no, my movie was about this, I would say, you're wrong, sorry.
And then slap him in the balls
like
to stay in the harmony of his beautiful masterpiece. I was going to say, I was sitting there feeling like, the thing I did like about it was that it was an experience. An experience I, as a woman, believe it or not, have not, like, knuckles flicked dudes or, like, touched ball sacks a lot in a friendly manner besides in my own bedroom. Anyways, but I, so that was interesting for me to get like an
number one hit single.
Thank you, yes.
In my own bedroom, Missy Marie.
And you can insert anything before it, mm-hmm. like peeling corn husks in my own bedroom.
I like it.
Vaping on your little stick in my bedroom.
That anyways. Wasn't sexual. That's just, nope. She's taking up vaping.
Just doing it. But, so it felt like an experience. Not one that I necessarily liked. I liked that they jumped to, like, every type of party. Like, as in I got to see what that looked like. So I felt like this was a C, but I also felt like it's very muted Animal House. Like, a version that he wished yes. was, like, a like that, but...
Great call.
One that was, like, dipped in bleach or something.
I guess it's a slice of life, but a very,
mundane.
I don't know. I enjoyed watching it. I just think it's kind of a pointless fantasy. And, yeah, I know there are a lot of baseball teams that partied all weekend and got laid and all of this. I think that a lot of writers... And I say this as kind of a writer, write the story about the youth they wish they had.
Yes.
Richard Linklater wasn't going to the disco and taking a girl back to the baseball house. He was writing a story about going to the disco and taking a girl back to the baseball house. It's very much a, like, it's a fantasy. Nothing really bad, like, happens to everybody. It's no. just a party fantasy movie.
You mean like how Quentin Tarantino writes women?
Right.
Those yeah. women don't exist, Quentin.
No.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. And yeah, and I also felt like it was such a character-driven movie. They were, which was interesting. This is one of the first types of movie experiences that sports or a thing was talked about, but they spent so much time, like, burrowing each character deeply into my psyche so that when it got to baseball time, and I thought this was an interesting experience. I'm like, oh, what's, like, idiot guy gonna do on the field? Oh, right. What's, like, crazy high strong the best
yeah.
player? Like, how's he gonna throw a ball? So yeah. that was the first time that I thought, that's neat.
And that's not a spoiler. I mean, it's no. about a baseball team. Yeah. I honestly thought they would never get to baseball.
Yeah, at first I thought was, oh, they're gonna show us baseball. No, it went so long, and I'm like, I guess no baseball.
I knew it was because it was counting down the hours until they had to go to class.
Yeah,
and they said,
oh right,
they said practice is Sunday.
Right,
so I'm like, all right, we're gonna get that, and it's gonna end when they sit down in their first
right.
college class.
Oh, but I didn't see that coming.
But yeah, it's I just know. A lot of long, long scenes of people hanging out.
Yeah.
And because the characters were well established, I do think it was very funny. I laughed the most of the three of us.
It was not very funny.
I think it was...
It was right. amusing.
It was funny.
There was a lot of
but
little...
It wasn't like,
there was some funny things.
It would never be...
There's some standout characters, but, I mean, very funny is very generous.
I really like really tiny... character moments. Like,
sure.
I laugh really hard at the guy in the background who rolls his eyes in a certain way.
Right,
and this
right.
is loaded with that.
Yeah.
But right. it's not Animal House. It's,
right.
no.
it's, you know, if you really are tuned into these characters and see, you know, the way they react to things, I laughed at it a lot. I think that most people who go to see it will say that, why wasn't that funnier?
Yeah,
unless
people are into things that are reality based. Because I agree that it's a fantasy in terms of removing, like, bills paying, and it's just
right.
like all the things that guys want to do. But it was also this realistic thing where there was nothing outrageous happening, so there were no funny scenarios for these guys.
Right.
It was all these created things. And the thing I enjoyed it, and then I wanted to go shut the fuck up. Are we allowed to say the F word?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Because of Addie Twigg.
Yay.
There were six episodes where we were like, it's clean. And then I had Addie on, and she's like, well, you fucking did this and then fucked it up. And I'm like, oh, we're a dirty podcast,
oh,
though.
No, I'm sorry.
But she did our theme song.
Okay.
She did our theme
oh,
song.
Good.
Listen to the telephone line. Listen to it on Spotify, and then buy it on iTunes.
Yep.
Yes.
The telephone
amen.
Line.
They're agreed. Great.
They
anyway.
Were so good. I might be backing them up at their YWEP appearance in May.
YWEP? WYEP?
That's what we call it.
On the streets.
In the biz.
On the streets. And in my Dormont studio apartment, yes. I'm her backup singer. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
whenever it was like, my brain was going, I'm experiencing this punk show party that's so fun and neat. And then the character was like, we're experiencing all the things in life. And I was like, no, don't you dare
don't
get inside my
out.
Head and tell me what I'm feeling. If you're going to be all experiencey for an hour and 40 minutes and then point out everything I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so thanks for telling me. And then I got mad.
Here's what I like about movies. Movies are make-believe.
Uh-huh.
When they're not make-believe, they take true stories that are very interesting and entertaining. This was neither of them.
And it wasn't a documentary. Like,
but it was like, here is a camera following around a baseball team in the actual 1980s. And it was kind of boring to me. The parts where it was a little bit make-believe was where a couple characters showed up.
Yeah.
They have a couple characters that are really larger than life that you're like, man, this guy cannot really exist.
Mm-hmm.
But he does somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's what made it funny. There were a couple standout characters that were funny.
It's interesting because I'm thinking back to our Clerks episode where when I was selling Clerks, I was like, one of the reasons I fell in love with this movie is because the relatability of being at a boring job and talking about whatever you can to
and
pass
I will
the
use,
time.
And I will use exactly what I just said to solidify what I said about Clerks.
So you don't enjoy that as much. We're here.
Where Jay stands out.
Yes.
And he's the funniest part of the movie.
That's true. But I really, I get a lot of enjoyment out of being able to identify with scenes like that. And as much as this was kind of a, you know, a testicular fantasy for the vast majority, it there were scenes where I'm like, man, I did live that moment, and I really, there's, Mom and Dad turned the podcast off now. They definitely have never listened to the podcast, but the scene, the like long smoking weed scene,
yeah,
where it's four dudes sitting on the floor passing a bong around and like saying this philosophical shit that actually is completely meaningless, I'm like, oh, holy shit, I'm 19 again.
Yeah, that was
in
funny.
That moment.
I mean, it
and
was
I like
funny.
That. I like that connect.
But
it's not about
it
being funny. It's about it being relatable.
But I know real people that have experienced that situation, and 10 of them were funnier than this movie. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He needed punch-up writers. Like,
well,
was,
he's not going to let anybody touch his script at this point
was,
in his career.
It was not that, I mean, funny.
Because it was
the
more,
only times
it was
not engineered to be funny.
No.
It was funny because some of the actors brought something to it.
But then, like, the one that you're supposed to like, the kind of, like, mentor of the group, the blonde with the mustache that was, anyways.
He was.
I know.
He was Matthew McConaughey.
No, not, I thought that was the one who was Southern. I was going to be able to say young Matthew
Finn,
McConaughey.
The character Finn was definitely the Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's
character.
Who it is. But him, at the same time, he had this level to him that was not believable. Where it's these constant motivational speeches. It's like, hey, freshman, check it. I was starting to go like, okay.
That's the Linkletter way.
Yeah, that was getting annoying.
Well, and I told Sean what I thought this movie was going to be, and I thought that it was going to have some boring conversations, some mediocre humor that you know, I guess he thinks is funny, and then it was going to be some philosophical quips. I mean, and he actually like threw it in pretty heavy, which was kind of hilarious to me. Like you know, they're reading whatever they're reading, Vonnegut. And
Carl Sagan.
I'm like, oh, come on.
The problem I have with it is at no point there was absolutely no drive. There was no like, well, we got to wait to, I don't know. See if the freshman calls that girl. Like, that was the extent of.
Well, I thought there was going to be something. When are we allowed to talk about this?
How far into the movie is it?
It's late.
No.
Okay. So, like, there seems like there's a moment where it's like, oh, this one guy, this thing happened. But then it was the most deflated thing ever.
Nothing.
It was like, oh, that wasn't even...
You're right. They're great.
I thought, like, oh, okay, something's happened.
Oh, it's about to get real.
There are some missing payoffs.
Yes.
Even down to, like, bits. Like, they set up this bit about one of them has a waterbed that's breaking the ceiling.
Yeah.
And
yes!
And like,
yes!
10 minutes after the movie ended, I'm like, why didn't the waterbed ever fall through the ceiling?
Yeah.
Like that should have been like...
The whole setup of the first 10 minutes of the movie is how shitty this house is.
Yeah, that never comes. That should have been...
That was the, like, remember Animal House? That's exactly what
that should have been, the big comedic blowout where there's some, you know, they're having a team meet. The coach comes back and they're having a team meeting in the kitchen, and then the ceiling collapses on his head.
And girls come flowing through.
Right,
like,
that
like
should have been the...
Logs in a river.
But that would be unrealistic, and that apparently wasn't allowed. Even the, like...
Yeah, exactly, funny.
The one authority figure... kind of even set up like, hey, here are the rules, don't break them, and then they did with no consequence. So I'm like, so not
You know, like funny movies about colleges, they're like, we're going to break the rules and we're chasing to not get caught.
Everything.
Like,
old school Animal House. It's like, you love seeing the Dean be like, we're going to get
Animal House. Like,
it feels like this was adapted from like a 1,000-page Bret Easton Ellis book about college, but it's only the first half of every chapter. Like, this is the chapter where we're at the disco. Nothing happens. We just then skip to the first half of the next chapter where we're playing darts. It's like...
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah,
but
it was an interesting experience. I didn't feel like it was a movie that I would... If I was, like, not that I ever do this, but... It feels like something I should be stoned at, or something that I don't care about pace, I don't care about something, or if I'm an old dude who's like, I want to relive this time of my life. I feel like that's who would like this. It was just so specific and just,
Apart from a couple characters, a couple actors being pretty interesting characters, it was pretty boring to me. It was pretty boring.
Thought the actors were really great. Like,
And a lot of first-time actors, for sure.
Yeah, and I liked that.
I didn't know anybody.
He had the gumption to do this with no stars.
Yeah.
Right. At all. There's not... You might have seen a few of these faces before, but you definitely do not know their names.
Right.
And I like that. That's cool.
The main character, Blake Jenner, he is from Glee, and also...
Who isn't?
Yeah,
Missy was on like 12 episodes.
Yes.
He was also in Melissa and Joey, FYI.
What? I'm a fan.
You know what I'm talking about? Melissa Joan Hart and Joey.
Yeah, definitely
Lawrence.
I do, yes.
But he's also in Supergirl right now. He was a solid guy. Solid actor.
They're people, they all have, exactly, they have careers, they've been in things. And I think they do solid character work. It looks like they had fun. Like, it's something that, as an actor, I'd be like, oh, this would be fun to do.
Sure.
You get to goof around, have a realistic setup, and be your characters for a really long
time. I'll be the first to say, I turned to Missy, the dude Tyler Hoechlin?
Yes.
Who played Mick Reynolds?
Yes.
With his, like, mustache. And I was like, he's gorgeous.
He is.
He was.
I was like, you had so much.
I was like, he's 80s gorgeous.
Totally.
Like, he should be on a rug in the Burt Reynolds pose. His name is Mick Reynolds.
It is. So you're asking for it. Yeah, I thought he was so incredibly
Wyatt Russell is probably the most famous dude in that movie. Wyatt Russell plays, you know, one of the guys. He was in 22 Jump Street, and he was in Cowboys and Aliens, and a really cool indie horror movie called We Are What We Are. You got to check that out if you're into horror movies. He actually did quite a few. He was also in Walking Dead for a minute.
So I guess this is a question. Who should go see this movie?
We talked about that, I think, just us, not on the podcast. And that's the thing. It's like, who is this for? Because this is not for the 17 to 25, I would even say 30-year-olds, who really like Neighbors and Old School. And
oh, yeah, no.
It's not funny enough.
No, it's not. It's not that college rum.
Is this for, like, your dad?
Well, and it's, we should mention, it's not for women. You know,
no,
we were just talking last week about Hardcore Henry and how it's
well,
obviously...
Well, Sean, you think the Hardcore Henry's misogynistic, this is...
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, a lot of this movie is about chasing tail.
Just getting,
laid. And it's... But, you know, they write in one female character who's smart, and that's like the apology. And look, I get... It is one of those cases where If you're making a character study about a college men's baseball team, you can't, like, do another 2 hours about the women's team to even it out. But that said, this is one that it's a little, Hardcore Henry, it's like, okay.
It's a little, like, seriously, what do you think the over-under was on close-ups of asses?
Yeah, this movie, about
two dozen.
And we just sold, like, 5 billion tickets, because they're like, what? There's lady ass in this? Cha-ching, fandango.
I mean, I'm a grown-up. I've seen women's asses in shorts. But holy hell. It's like every female cast in this movie had a close-up of her ass.
P.S. Everyone looked the same. I'm glad this campus was filled with fucking models, and, like, everyone was the same little, if we ever
saw a
thing.
That's a good point.
Were there no bras in 1980?
That's why 80s horror movies are amazing.
That's a good point.
When I was 12 watching 80s horror movies, this is amazing.
The other thing I thought, you know what? In 1980, obesity wasn't like a big-ass deal, because that's before corn syrup and pizza rewarded you for reading. So I believe half of that. So I was like, that's cool. I feel you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there was no, like, Rainbow Plus up in that motherfucker back then.
It's hilarious.
Not to be like, you're the lady, but like...
Yeah, it is true. I brought my vagina with me today,
I mean, were you...
She took it out of its case.
Were you...
Like, Invisalign, but it's Invisipussy. I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh. Is that the first time the P word?
I think it is.
Oh no, sorry, Wendy.
Were you, like... offended or
annoyed?
Honey,
did you hear me? There were times, did you hear me go, mm-mm? I was saying mm-mm at certain times. Here, because you know what? Especially right now. Like, I will say as much as social media is like the devil on with a cool handle name or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's also a lot of thought processes have been racing through my mind. And I love right now thinking about, like, the Black Lives Matters movement, or all of the feminist movements, or the trans movement. It's like, I want to hear what people really are feeling.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I feel 2016, so far, has been off the rails with vulnerable, honest-ass, wicked shit. And it's scaring the shit out of people that are like, what? Things are changing? And it's like, yeah, and people are screaming their feelings. So with that being said, my radar is up big time with, like, female friends that are...
I think we all are.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all are. So watching someone, a guy walk into a club and just put his hand on a stranger's waist, a woman's waist, and think that's a gesture of hello. It's like, you do not intimately just touch a someone.
Well,
and
when
then,
there's scenes where guys walk into... I do a joke about it where it's like, some guys think that, like, they go into a nightclub, and this happened in the movie where they just look around and it's like a butcher shop.
Yeah, and they're like...
And they're licking their lips like, all right, let's slay this. I'm like... Yeah.
And if that's how people think, that's,
and
I guess,
I'm sure,
fine.
Maybe in 1980, okay, I guess things were different. But it's not necessarily, like, is it, like, okay to celebrate that?
And is it okay to sell it in this era where we're like, that's it feels like a dated movie in that sense. It's like, actually, that's probably not a thing we should be like, hey, young kids, go sit and sit...
Yeah. Hey, this is
over
when
this for
things
2 hours.
Were good.
Yeah, it's nostalgic for kind of a, you know, time before we had a lot of shit figured out, you know? And
where, you mean when white men still ruled the world?
Yeah, and here, this is...
Especially a 20-year-old college white man. Oh, man. Living the dream.
And you know what? Now you guys are making me like the movie list. God damn it.
Sorry.
But like,
sorry.
Could there have been one character who wasn't, like, a cocky... badass motherfucker for every single minute? Every one of these freshmen are walking in like, hey, yeah, I got it. There wasn't a single guy. There was the country bumpkin guy a little bit.
Who they took out of the story.
Could have had some sort of plot line.
Right. Every single character was like, you know, big man on campus every minute.
Question. Yeah. Was that to prove and show the, like, solidarity of this really badass baseball team? And that's what camaraderie looks like?
I think so. I think part of it has to do with, like, yeah, this is an athletic team. Yeah, this
and
is
I'm
a
not
sports.
Saying that's not this is not representative of how sports teams bond and all that. I'm just saying that's not really a movie. Like, we're broing out, bro town.
But it's like it's scene after scene of, okay, next scene, where they go to get laid.
Yeah.
Like, it just was very monotonous.
And this bothers me. You know,
oh,
I
God,
like...
God, are we old?
Well, no, look.
I don't care.
I love,
I see that all the time. I'm like, I'm an old man. I don't care.
You know, I love naked people.
Look.
I want everyone to be naked. I have no... I enjoy naked people
in
the movie.
I love women.
But there are... There's literally, like, the token... A lady butt shot and the token boobs shot,
which are anonymous
characters. That it's just like this shot is only exists in the movie, so there was some female nudity.
Yeah,
and
how is she credited in the credits for that?
Right,
closet.
She's
boobs.
Not because that's an extra.
Closet boobs.
It's like
And I don't like even want to bang the like female drum or anything because then if there's like
Sean does more than that.
Yeah,
more.
I love it.
Share
because it's like. I'm okay with even if it's a tale from like a man's perspective or somebody different's perspective. And I was trying to experience it in that way of like, and that actually is kind of frightening.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is this how guys hang out? And
yes.
Like, and meanwhile, I'm sitting in between two of the most sweetest human beings I know that are men. I get along with men.
Thank you.
More than everyone else.
Thanks.
They just flick my I Love Art t-shirt. I am so P.S. It's like a theater scene, and I was like cowering behind my large diet, no, cherry vanilla Coke, like, yeah.
The theater party was
pretty
funny. I enjoyed that.
So they showed you like different genres of stuff, but.
Sure.
It was also then like insulting all of us theater folks.
It did a little bit. I saw that too. But I just, I don't know, are our whole podcast like We're Better Than You?
That's why here's a peel.
Is that what reviewing is?
Here's a peel back the curtain. Last what was it for The Boss? I was like, okay, let's go into Extra Butter and let's punch up the movie and like put our money where our mouth is. And you said, no, who are we? And I wanted to be like, that's kind of what we do on the show anyway, is talk about ways that the movie comes
about. Well, I'm not writing Hollywood movies, you know what I mean?
Well,
but I feel
I'm not telling you I could write a better movie than this, or any movie. I'm just saying,
but I mean,
clearly this is another one where were the couple extra levels of review to be like, make it funnier, make it have a point, make one scene connect to the next scene. Just like the screenwriting 101 show.
And we're sharing our feelings on it.
I mean, honestly, just, I'm a professional comedian. I can say that. I make a living doing comedy. Just watching the movie, I'm like, this could have been so easily punched up. Like, easily.
Yeah.
But obviously his point was to...
No, he didn't
you
want
an experience.
To. And he does give Here's Life.
That's what it is. And that makes me understand this filmmaker more than, to be honest. And get another... Because a scene I thought was fascinating, there's a phone call scene. One of the only times taking advantage of like a different format of screen view was like this split screen moment. And the editing inside of it, it was very interesting and cut so strangely that I was like, it piqued my interest in a different way that I was like, he's showing it. Like, I was intrigued by it.
Yeah.
But it was very much like a movie.
Well,
it was just like watch people exist, and it was the equivalent of if I was mall watching or something.
Yeah,
right.
And Boyhood was the same way.
It was like mall watching.
Boyhood is also just about here's what life is like,
but
it's a much better. Boyhood's much better.
But
than
it has a point. The point is showing you progress of time, and it's an experiment. It's like taking an edge to it. There was no real edge to this that invoked anything. I was like, when it ended, the whole theater sat there for a minute, like, oh, it's over.
It's after Boyhood, after he works on a movie for 12 years,
that's
has a lot of weight to it, and then does this. This feels like, you know, you're on a baseball team, and it's like, well, you've been working hard. Practice is canceled today. We're going to play volleyball. This is his, like, we're just screwing around and making a movie.
And, like, tons of, like, man, you got to get used to being a guy, and you got to make sure you talk to those ladies, freshmen. If there was
that's how we're going to end the episode, is you giving a baseball speech for 4 minutes.
Yes.
But, yeah, I...
Music
okay, I liked it more before I was talking about it. The music's great.
I think if you want a relaxing night where you're not thinking about much, I think this is not like, you know, what's his name with Red and Black? Deadpool. It's not like, it's like a chill, relaxed time.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be offended as a woman, don't go.
Here's who should see it. If you watch a lot of movies and You know, Aaron, if you weren't here tonight, I would say go see this like when you're on the road and have to kill an afternoon.
Ugh.
It's like, you know, you need a 2-hour, like,
sure.
brain turn off.
Yeah.
It is just a little bit of shame because I look for a little bit more from Richard Linklater.
I mean, me too. I'm disappointed that I didn't think it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
I didn't hate it. I would never, I was just thinking, would I buy it? No way.
No, I wouldn't watch it again.
And I wouldn't buy the movie for, like, a baseball lover. I'd be like, I'd buy the Animal House.
There's this one baseball scene. I'm That's glad they cool. got there. I was like, yeah. can we watch baseball?
And it was neat that it was woven in as yet another one of their experiences. So yeah. it wasn't like hitting me over the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Of that information.
I want to highlight some of my favorite things, and I want to give a shout out to my friend because it's pretty neat that he's in the movie.
Hopefully he won't listen.
But number one, Justin Street.
Oh,
who played this transfer pitcher was it was basically
he was hilarious.
Uncle Rico Goes to College.
Yes, it was.
It was Napoleon Dynamite's Uncle Rico prequel.
With
this was
all
Uncle
of his,
Rico
like,
in college.
All of his juju in his body,
like
because
amazing.
He was on fire with energy.
So there was some character stuff there, and I want to give a shout out to my friend. it's pretty crazy. Michael Mansour, he plays the dude who's kind of their friend at the punk house.
Yeah.
And last year, I did a short scene with my friend and his cousin, Michael Anton. They made this movie called The Great American Movie Hustle. And they're still working on it this year. But, I heard the story of Michael Mansour. Like, yeah, man, I met Richard Linklater. And he's like, you'd be perfect for my movie. And he's in it.
Wow.
Yeah, he was good. He was
he's
cool.
honestly one of the standout kind of funny characters.
Yes, definitely.
And
definitely
I was,
like,
was
a boost
wow,
in energy and
yeah, like
when you
that's
needed
really
it.
It's really cool. But anyway, yeah.
That's interesting to say because I guess we're tearing into him,
that,
but I'm like, but cool for him that he's in it because that's the weird paradigm of as performers, we're like,
yeah.
I would do that movie
absolutely
because
yeah.
that's the business.
But you never know what it's gonna be.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Never know
that's
what
true.
It's gonna be.
That's true.
Why I bring him up, and it's not just because I know him, it's because he was one of the few characters that were a little larger than life that
yeah.
brought a little something more to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, those guys were seriously walking down the street saying nothing.
yeah.
And then Michael's character shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, cool. And then he was funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like... You know,
yeah.
Did you expect, this is a completely different point, did you expect that the movie was going to be night one, everybody's getting laid, but the main character meets this girl and starts a relationship right away, and then it's about they're busting his balls, and you're not a team player because we're out getting laid. Like, I thought that was going to be the conflict.
There was zero conflict in
yeah,
this
and
movie.
It never
no,
did.
That's
zero
very
conflict.
Strange.
The biggest conflict was, like, who would lose at ping pong?
Yeah,
but like no, there was no conflict.
And the biggest reveal, which we won't spoil, the one like significant change that a character went through was like the movie treated it like, hey, this is weird. This just happened. So anyway,
and like let's laugh at
well,
it.
And I
move
think
on
there was
like
two
that.
Or three
yeah.
different things.
Yeah.
That could have been plot points that were just gone.
And
yeah.
and now it just makes me go, okay, filmmaker, you want your thumbprint so hard on this that you want to go bypass any story system to be like, but I don't do that. I know you would like this thing to happen and them to get into rubble. Well, in my movie, they're smooth sailing. And that's
yeah.
the part that I'm like, that's just counterintuitive to story. So I was like, I was waiting the whole time.
Like, I just
being
think,
walled,
too,
but
yeah,
waiting.
there's some big things in, like, hey, that, did that just happen? I think that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, that could have, there could have been some really funny foreshadowing
yeah.
of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And then to say,
yeah.
like, oh,
it's like,
when he's like.
He could have been like, yeah, I voted for Ford. What?
Oops. Yeah, and then you like you see the reveal, and you're like, "Oh my god, that's
yeah.
hilarious!"
And then whenever they say, "Yeah, we just went by the house,"
but what do I know?
Like? Why don't you show us that instead of just flippantly being like, "Yeah,
I
don't know."
Well, here's some quick hits to take us out this week. Sorry, Buzzy, we missed the ad break. Listen to the other shows on the Epicast Network.
Yeah, check out epicast.tv. Check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business. GrownDadBusiness.com. I talk to comedians and creative people and celebrities about growing up and having kids. And you can see us do comedy.
Yes, you can.
I'm right now in the middle of the One Night Only tour. Tonight I'm in Baltimore, and tomorrow I'm in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And then the 28th through the 30th, I'm headlining in Lansing, Michigan at Trippers Comedy Club.
Ooh.
I got nothing going on. What the hell? I got a couple of private gigs that I can't plug. So, private gigs. I'll mention again, like I said last week, because get your tickets now. This sells out every time. You do have to get your tickets now if you want to see the Loaded Show at Club Cafe on Saturday, May 21st. Aaron Kleiber will be on that show, as well as a bunch of other really great local comics. I'm hosting it, but I'm not kidding. The first one, we had people coming up that we had to turn away because it does not seat that many people in there.
Awesome.
So go to, I think it's clubcafelive.com and get your tickets now. Missy, what do you got going on?
Well, actually, I will be opening a show in the beginning of May at the Bricolage Theater Company downtown.
Oh.
They are an amazing, awesome show.
They're great.
Part of the International Children's Festival that comes in to Pittsburgh.
It's an immersive show, isn't it?
It is an immersive show, originally written, and it's for all people. It's a sensory experience,
so cool.
But it's geared towards an autistic audience, which is exciting, but, like, obviously children, but it's fun for adults, too, but it's for all people to experience this. Yeah, we're opening up. It's a world premiere that we're writing, which is super exciting. Another thing I'd love to plug, though, is April 26th is a Tuesday, and it's the PA primary. Go vote. And that will be, like, in just a few days from this. So go vote for...
Go vote.
Mm-hmm. Exercise that. It's so important.
And
everybody should have a burning desire to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, you really should.
You should really just, like, take what you feel inside and get the heartburn out of your system over
it.
Yeah,
like,
just,
I think that a lot of people have, you know, some really, like, you know, like, curmudgeon-y kind of, like, you should just sand that off.
I agree.
And just...
By the way, do you like my auburn hair that I dyed?
All right, we're just being idiots.
Sanders. Anyways.
And while we're mentioning, since you mentioned immersive theater, that reminded me to plug... I don't know what I can say about it, but there's a very cool group in town called Uncumber Theatrics.
Oh my God, Anne is one of my good friends.
Anne Tercera puts these shows together that they're all different. And all I can say about Serpentine, which begins on May 19th, is it is both an immersive theater show and a continuous augmented reality game that happens around the city. I think that's all I can get away with saying at this point. I don't even know if I could tell you who's in it. Maybe someone close to my life who I mentioned earlier in the show might be a part of it. But maybe not. You never know.
You just don't.
It's cool.
So that's if you live in Pittsburgh, that is going to be a very, very weird, interesting, engaging experience.
Yes.
Uncumbertheatrics.com. What else? Oh, Goods and Evil, our sponsor.
Yeah.
Great movie t-shirts, nerd t-shirts, vegan t-shirts, just cool t-shirts, because you go into a bar and you're like, man, everyone here's got a cooler t-shirt than me. They found at the Goodwill, or they made on a printing press in their basement, or they paid a lot of money for. No, don't do any of that. Go to goodsandevil.com
and get some awesome
stuff to wear.
Yeah, I see a lot of cool nerd shirts that, like, everybody has because Target has every merchandising right on the planet.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, oh, well, I can't wear that cool Star Wars shirt because a million people bought it at Target this week. Goods and Evil designs their own images, and they're incredible. Movie stuff. Sean loves the Boomstick shirt. I love my Camp Crystal Lake shirt. But you can go on goodsandevil.com, and you can get 10% off any shirt with the coupon code handle.
That's right.
It's pretty rad.
Here, I want to do the briefest... Oh, our 1 minute on whether or not you can take your kids to see Everybody Wants Some. Why do your kids want to see Everybody Wants Some?
That's a pretty good, yeah.
But also, I don't know, 17 and up, it's too dirty and, you know,
swearing,
bad behavior and,
whatever.
You know. Here's our...
I'd actually rather my kids see Everybody Wants Some than Hardcore Henry or The Boss.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
This at least is like preparing them for how people are, how like people are going to talk to them when they hit college.
I know, mm-hmm. right?
People are going to give you shit and make or you 11. Do things you don't want. Yeah, or 11. Yeah. Here's our super quick extra butter. Okay. I just want your snap reaction because this, I guess, is breaking news 2 hours ago.
What?
Ben Affleck will direct a solo Batman movie.
He's going to direct himself.
He's going to direct himself. Now, initially, it's like, wow, that's the most masturbatory thing ever. Here's my second reaction. Can it be worse?
No.
He's directed a couple good movies. It probably is going to be better.
I think it is. Is he going to direct the first solo Batman movie?
Ben Affleck will... I'm reading from the rap. Ben Affleck wow. will direct a solo Batman movie. Warner Brothers... I said Batman.
Batman
movie. announced Tuesday at Comic-Con in Las Vegas after crediting the directors of other upcoming DC movies. Also said, I'm also excited we'll be working with filmmakers like Ben Affleck in a standalone Batman, particularly since the phenomenal success of the Oscar winner's turn as the Caped Crusader in last month's... What phenomenal success? He actually wasn't bad. But do I want it? No. Am I happier with him doing it than Zack Snyder or anyone else that DC thinks is a good idea? Yes.
I actually want to see a full movie of that Batman now.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know if he can do it well. I have no idea.
But he can't. It can't be any worse.
No, it can't be any worse. And the fact that Batman was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And I went, you know, the new Suicide Squad trailer came out this week.
I don't like Will Smith.
Really?
He looks out of place.
Oh, I agree. That he looks very
like,
strange.
Will Smith looks out
he
of place.
He looks like he needs water.
I thought it looked fun.
It looks fun. Will Smith looks out of place.
Like, hey kids, I'm still going to play
this. I know they're selling it on this, and then I'm going to go and it's going to disappoint me, but it just gives me the glimmer of hope that this is the one they're like, let's have some fun. We got these weird characters.
I think so.
And this trailer makes it look like Harley Quinn is the main character, which better be the case.
It better be the case. They'd be really stupid not to.
Seriously, like, come on. The world is, like, begging for it at this point.
Yes.
But, and DC is okay at dark. They've right. proved they know how to ruin characters with making movies really dark.
Yeah.
And this is a dark movie, and so is Batman. So, we'll see.
Anybody got anything else? Shake something, don't break something. Was my favorite phrase.
Thank you for remembering.
Missy already has it tattooed on her clavicles.
It's really cute. I couldn't believe that the kid who cleans up the popcorn also had a tattoo gun ready to go. And I got the tattoo right here at AMC.
All right, now I want you to give you're a 19-year-old Texas shortstop.
Can I be 20 because I've been here for 2 years?
Okay, you're a 20-year-old Texas shortstop telling the freshmen how their lives are going to be. I want you to do this for as long as you possibly can.
Okay, look, freshmen, I know you got your shorts on and I know they're up your little thighs, whatnot, but I just want you to remember something. When you look in the mirror and look at your own forehead and the acne growing on it, I want you to remember that baseball is about that acne, standing on that mound that needs to come down so that you can come down and know that it's just about getting the ladies to look at you straight in the Adam's apple and know, hey, that's you. You're you. I'm me. I'm not that guy. Right? Because who wants to be him? He's probably impregnating something right now. But I'm impregnating you with skills, friendship, and a fucking ball tap. Let's get crushed.